song.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out. Move mountains, we're gonna walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,000 times again. And I'll rise up, I'll like the waves. I'll rise up, in spite of the ache. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,000
morning, or good afternoon, or good evening. It all depends on what part of the world you are living. I had to do it. Oh, but good morning, and good morning. Welcome to Write Your Own Book Club, episode number 3, part 3, day 3, here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, I heard you chuckle in the background there. My name is Will Green. In the background there, you hear, you know, the Lions historian, the one who came up with this concept here, my dad, Bill Green. Good morning, Daddy-O.
Good morning, Wilfredo, my man.
Good morning. Good morning.
Everybody should have a wing man or wing person, you know, like I do. I wanted y'all to know my man. He jumped in for me, and he's holding the struts together on the wings as I'm trying. I'm flying blind right now, y'all. So, you know, my man jumped right on in, man. Thank you so much, man. You don't know, lordy. You know, So, what's up with you, man? What's up? How you doing? How's this concept coming for you, man? Write Your Own Book Club. Is it inspiring, motivating, or lulling you to sleep?
You know, to be fair, I would say all the above, but not lulling to sleep.
Yeah.
Not lulling to sleep like, oh my God, you know,
gotcha.
Boring sleep. You know, I may find myself in those moments. What did we say last week? Where does your trail begin, you know, and thinking of those memories of myself, not just like we talked about me moving and coming back from Atlanta, but I was trying to push myself a couple of times, thinking about when I transitioned between grammar schools, you know,
mm-hmm. Right on.
And those moments when I went to two different schools, but it was a lulling to sleep, like, man, let me ponder on this. And I just went into those memories, you know. Now, whether they appeared in dreams when I fell asleep or anything like that, that's another story for another time, you know.
For another time.
But it's that kind of going to sleep. So, yeah, I'm going to say all the above, man. Inspiring, motivating. I'm excited to see what's next. I'm excited to see, you know, where we go with this, where you're going with this. And a lot of times it's fun, you know, doing this with you, you know, of course, because you're my dad and I'm your son. But then I get to sit back, too, and watch how you make this magic happen. And sometimes, you know, you don't even know what's going to happen. But I know something's going to happen, and I can't just sit back,
right.
You know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, right on, man. Yeah. It's, you know, it's, Well, you're really saying it all. It's always a thrill. I'll use that word, you know, because I never know what the surprise is going to entail just before a show like this that we do starts, whether it's this one, whether it's the Greenhouse Effect on Thursdays. And excuse the uhs and the ums and the, and there'll probably be a few you knows thrown in because I'm trying to get the studio up online while I'm talking. So, you know, this is a trip, man. And at the same time, wanting to stay focused on your comments because I agree, it is a challenge. You know, that I think is a wonderful endeavor indeed. Anytime a person wants to put their life, take a pen and put their life on paper, you know, or in any form, whatever form that might be, to unveil, what the treasures are that are buried within the, you know, within our souls. I think for many, as we go through this thing called life, we don't really take a look at the breadcrumbs. I love that you brought that up last week, you know, to me when we were talking after the show. You know, you say, what about the breadcrumbs, dude? I mean, that's not the way you said it, but that's the way I heard it. You know, what's up with these breadcrumbs? I think that we don't realize, I think many of us don't realize we're leaving breadcrumbs as we go through life. You know, that there's a charted water that we're engaging, and this charted water on land, you know, is leaving its marks, and it's meant to be looked at. It's not a matter of living in the past, but it is what I believe a requirement, you know, to be in possession of one's past. You know, we don't go through life with amnesia. And there are things, sure, that we want to block out, and there are things, sure, that are painful to remember. And there are things that come and go so fast that we lose the purpose of them. But that's the combination and the culmination of life. And so these indicators, these little breadcrumbs, you know, are the connected dots that help to relink us back to not just our beginning, but back to our place in the link of ancestry, you know, that, you know, upon our death will reveal itself for those who come after us. And there's a responsibility, I believe, you know, that comes with taking up the mantle of ancestry. The challenge is in life. How much work am I willing to do on my link of ancestors so that those who come after me won't have to do that work? And sometimes I think so many of us get so caught up in the immediate story that we forget about the investment into the future, not our future, but the future of those who come after us. You know, the work we do, you know, in repairing the links of those who came before us is the work that those who come after us will not have to do. That's not to say they won't have their own work to uncover, but with us leaving the breadcrumbs, at least they won't have to repeat the story. And that's the real value, I believe, in that. I really believe that leaving those breadcrumbs aren't just there to help us reconnect, but it's also that link that helps those who come after us to reaffirm through us, you know, the mantle, the inherited mantle of work yet to be done, but not work that needs to be repeated. And there's so many themes, though, that I think it gets buried, that the treasure map is never used to rediscover, you know. So taking on the idea of writing one's, expressing one's, telling one's story, whatever form that takes, And there's so many different ones, right? I mean, it's not just in book form that one can reveal their story. Matter of fact, there are so many people whose story is revealed by other people writing about them, as opposed to the story that they necessarily have written about themselves. I mean, you know, and then there's those who, like I think of the prophets of the Old Testament, you know, not every prophet of the Old Testament was a writer. You know, I forgot which one was the first one. I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate because I don't want to reveal my ignorance in that regard.
Oh, my goodness.
But, so the prophets of old who weren't writing their own stories depended on the accuracy of those who were charting their stories as it was unfolding. You know, and so we fast forward to now, and the question is, if you're not telling your story, then who will? And for that matter, how accurate can we hope that that story will be? You know, it happens sometimes, right? That somebody else's opinion of me doesn't always match up with my opinion of myself. Right or wrong, man, help me out.
That's
here.
Right. That's
yeah,
right. That's
yeah.
right. Absolutely.
Sometimes,
yeah.
right? Sometimes.
Sometimes.
So,
not all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, not all the time. Not most of the time, but sometimes. So the question becomes, you know, well, it's not really a question. The statement is being pushed, being led, or being dragged. And then the question is, which ones are being left behind along your trail of breadcrumbs? So I'm sure that, you know, most of us will have moments in our life when we're being pushed. You know, there'll be times where we're being led. And there's times we'll be being dragged across the finish line just trying to get something done. You know, but these are, you know, wonderful. I mean, these are incredibly treasurable moments, right? You know,
yeah.
whether it's being pushed, being led, or being dragged. You know, it's the breadcrumbs, man. It's the link. It's the hookup. You know, it's the it's that time. It's the time to harness. You know, these breadcrumbs, that's what they do. They allow us to harness the vision of our lives. You know, and there is a great wisdom in that. You know, I don't know how many of us really understand that our lives are full of, you know, wisdom, you know, not just, you know, stupidity. You know, I've been dumb all my life, you know, sometimes even through the stupid moments. I mean, it was through my stupidity that I found recovery. And what a wonderful gift that turned out to be. What a wonderful treasure buried in my treasure chest. I never knew I had the gift of recovery until I lived the stupidity of addiction. You know, and yeah, I'm using the word stupid because I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about anybody else. There's a lot of different ways. I mean, like, I heard it was an engaged conversation yesterday where, you know, that theme of, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Mm-hmm.
And I say addiction is doing the same thing over and over again and is expecting different results. And then somebody said, no, stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And I said, aha. I said it to myself. That, you know, so all that other stuff, yeah, those clinical terms. And oh, yeah, man, but, you know, I mean, how many times have I been stupid, you know, to my purpose? So being dragged, you know, sometimes it's being dragged right to the finish line, to that X, the X that marks the spot. So.
Right. Yeah.
We all have a birth date, right?
There we are.
Mm-hmm. Right? We all have a birth date, and that birth date, you know, comes with a day. I mean, comes with a month, a day, and a year. Now, that's a combination that some tend to scoff at. It was like some think that birthday is a random process. That month, that day, that year, that time. You know, it's like, that's the X that marks the spot. But what spot is it marking? You know, what clues are there? You know, what's the indicators that suggest, you know, my time has come, you know, and it's marked by my arrival date? You know, what keys are available? Or let me ask you, do you think most people think that the value of one's life didn't really start until the day they were born? Do you think people give any thought as to what was going on before they arrived here in their family?
No, I wouldn't think so.
So
I think you're talking like the majority of people, yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe the majority, minority, just any. Do you think, you know, like, does that kind of get lost sometimes in the translation of my life, that I only think of it from the day I arrived, and that's when the chronological clock of my birth began, you know, which is also simultaneous, because the day I was born, also that clock runs both ways, you know. It's the beginning and the end happen simultaneously. So it's, you know, it's like, you know, the longer I'm here, of course, you know, then the more I have, you know, that leaves the breadcrumbs, but it also has breadcrumbs attached to when I started. And so I'll be 74 next year. So there's more breadcrumbs behind me than in front of me. And it sounds like a gunshot. So that's my paranoia. But anyway, so so does my creator, who I choose to call God, leave things in my treasure chest to help me understand some parts about myself as I venture out in life? Or do I have to wait for things to happen before I find out things about my life? I would like to think that there's indicators about the who that I am before I encounter things that either confirm or deny my existence, you know, I'm sure that you know what I mean. I mean, there are times when I'll encounter those that are very encouraging about allowing me to be visible. But then there are also those I encounter who go out of their way to make me feel like I'm not even there. And so, yeah, you know, so along the way, how do I react to those things? And, you know, astrology suggests the stars, you know, were in a certain alignment, you know, when that date of my birth occurred. You know, and there are several layers associated with that sign. You know, like my sign in astrology is Aries, but most cling to the entertainment or sun sign associated with that date. You know, but that only tells a small part of the stamp of the date that I arrived. But, you know, that's something, what, I can feel a question coming or a statement coming on.
No, I didn't want to mess up your flow because
no,
I'm just writing stuff. I'm writing stuff down here, but then it just reminded me to remind our listeners, as we do at the beginning of all of our discussions and shows, is just remind you all, grab a pen and pad, pencil and paper, post a note, a marker, whatever you got, even the back of an envelope. Because you might have some questions you might want to ask Dad or me, but you might want to ask Dad some questions. So make sure you write them down, because we don't want you to forget them. And just a reminder, the chat room is open. The call-in number is 516-387-1587. Press 1 on your keypad, and that'll let us know that you're in the queue. And usually we don't open the queue until the next hour, the 11 o'clock hour of the show. Just to let you all know that. I think that covers everything, right?
Sounds good to me, but I think we will find out if we haven't covered everything by the hate mail.
You know, yeah.
This is so much fun. Yeah, so questions, thoughts, comments, complaints, man. Where are you with this so far? You know, and I realize that introducing something like astrology to the conversation can cause some people to go, uh-oh, you know. But understand, I don't care if it's, you know, palm readers, I don't care if it's soothsayers, you know, shamans, medicine men or women, you know, or astrology or whatever the case may be. You know, I do believe they are treasures that come associated with one's treasure chest or toolbox, but none of those things are gifts above my God. You know, there are things that my God has provided if I choose to use them to understand what he is wanting to reveal to me. You know, a lot of people tend to use these things that are available, these tools, you know, as some kind of fortune telling. You know, like I'd rather hear from somebody else what they're telling me about my life than to hear how my God is speaking through them to tell me about my life. There's a big difference there. You know, so when I invested in astrology, you know, I understood that in the different layers comes a different explanation about, you know, the alignment of the universe at the time I was born. You know, so being what is called in the terms of astrology an Aries, you know, just from that's the sun sign. That's the, you know, that's the arrival point. That's the rising, you know, of my existence. You know, it has explained some things about my behavior. Like a lot of people refer to me as being a ram in my own china cabinet. You know, even when I'm trying to find my way out, you know, I'm still smashing into stuff, just trying to get to the exit. You know, so, you know, always, you know, smashing around, trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. And it can be very distracting, you know, if you're in a room full of china watching this ram, you know, smashing into stuff. So, you know, using that as metaphor, you know, there are times that I just go into life head first, you know, just butting up against things. It's interesting that the head and the butt are associated with the same part of the body, you know. And so my head is butting up against things, you know. Leading with my head is a tendency, you know, of this particular sign. But I don't want to turn it into, you know, a lesson in astrology. Instead, just an understanding of science, you know, that, you know, all things, you know, serve a purpose, whether we use them or not. My question is, how much are we willing to use them, you know, as we begin to put a stamp on our own individual stories, you know? So just take a few seconds. I'm asking, you know, those who are tuned in right now, and you too, Will, you know, we all have a year we were born. And I'm just asking right now, just, you know, thinking of the flashbacks that help to connect the dots or the breadcrumbs of our stories. Just take a few seconds to note what flashes from your mental camera when thinking about the year of your birth. You know, like, what year were you born, man? Was it 71 or 72?
71.
Okay, so just, you know, just in closing your eyes, you know, just think about the year 1971, you know, and is there anything that flashes from your mental camera about that year? You know?
No. You wanted me to answer, or just wanted me to?
No, just in thinking about it. Yeah, no, I wouldn't put that kind of pressure on you. You know,
okay.
It's like that's the year you were born. You know, and
yeah.
And what I'm asking you and anyone who's listening right now to just close your eyes and just see what pops up, the year you were born, what flashes in your mind, you know. And if it's nothing there, then, you know, I would encourage y'all to review that year, you know, to just take a look at it. You know, for me, what pops into my, the first thing that popped into my mind, there's two things now, but the first thing was Jackie Robinson, you know, 1947, integrating baseball. And the picture I saw was him kneeling in the batter's box, you know, as I just looked at that picture and just reflected on it, eventually I could see behind him, and I could see players in the dugout. And staying with it, you know, even longer, I could start seeing the crowd, you know, the fans in the stands, and could even start hearing the noise. You know, this it's a magical thing that happens when we'll give ourselves permission to connect with the true essence of our soul. See, our souls don't speak in the language that we use to talk about things. You know, our souls use symbols. You know, and those symbols come in forms of memory. And memory can manifest itself even in dreams. You know, but the interpretation of it comes through words. And all too often, our words can't keep up with our thoughts. So giving, you know, our souls the opportunity to speak in quiet moments of meditation, that slows the thoughts down long enough to allow words of expression in whatever form that takes to reveal itself. It might reveal itself in form of poetry. It might reveal itself in artwork, in dance, in song. You know, it reveals itself in whatever ways we give our souls permission to speak to us. And sometimes, you know, it shows up in unison and in harmony, you know, with aspects of nature. You know, like I know, Will, you have shared with me about seeing deer in your backyard. Now, y'all have to understand, my son lives in the hood. So the deer showing up in your backyard when you're in the hood, you know, that to me means something. I don't care what it means. Now, maybe, you know, I don't know what, but it means something. And then you tell me you saw a coyote go lumbering by, you know, so it's like, you know, what's up? You know, now, yeah, we could just kind of wave a stick at it and say, well, they got to have somewhere to go. You know, yeah, but we also could just take notice and ask, but why did they choose here? You know, there's things that, you know, are revealed to us day in and day out if we have the curiosity to pay attention. You know, and yes, we can subscribe our events to superstition and therefore just kind of wave them off, or we can say maybe, you know, through the majesty of God's creation, there are even clues that reveal itself for us at any given time that carry messages that our thoughts and words wouldn't know how to express. You know, so, you know, in some forms, in some cultures, it's called spirit animals, you know. And, you know, and I know, you know, the tendency of black folk, you know, we can be real superstitious. So when we start hearing things about spirit animals or totems or what was the other one I was just talking about, astrology, you know, it's like, you know, we stop putting the fingers up in the sign of the cross, you know, now get that stuff away from me. You know, we can be very linear in our appreciation of our birth. You know, and I can dig it, I understand. I mean, you know, I'm not too far removed from that either. I'm very cautious about these things. But these things are here, you know, and they serve a purpose. And, you know, I think about all the things that are here and what their lineage represents, you know, and how their lineage has influenced cultures that, you know, have been here and gone long before I popped into this particular place and time. So, you know, I'm not so much into reading someone else's interpretation of, you know, a totem, spirit animals, astrology and all that. I'm about getting some understanding about it so when I meditate on it, you know, my soul can reveal and symbol, you know, the hidden secrets. You know, that's my treasure chest I carry with me everywhere I go. Now, I can keep it hollow. I can just be very linear, and I could just paint by the numbers and go through life not surprised by anything. Or I can choose to be surprised by everything, you know, but the choice is mine because these things are happening anyway. You know, and I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, a cow that drops dead in a pasture and not even notice. You know, it doesn't even, don't even know if it had a name, but it's gone, that's it, and maybe it'll wind up in your supermarket, you know, tomorrow. But, you know, the point is that Kyle, you know, was self-actualized. It knew exactly what it was. You know, it knew exactly what it was here to do, you know, and it served its purpose. You know, I think there's these hidden messages that are just trying to encourage us to consider, you know, maybe there's something more to your birth than just the day you popped in. So, you know, Jackie Robinson is special to me. You know, integrating baseball in the same year I was born, you know, I just attached some degree of selfish purpose to that. I remember once I couldn't have been more than 3 or 4, you know, maybe 5, but, you know, let's say 4. That would have been, you know, 1951. I remember I had this short but vivid memory of being with my mother at Wrigley Field before I even knew it was Wrigley Field. It's like I realized Wrigley Field as, you know, I got older and developed an interest in baseball. You know, but I had this moment where I was with her in the ballpark, and we were sitting down near the field, so that would have been like the reserve section. And in 1951, the Cubs weren't exactly trailblazers in baseball, so, you know, probably there were a lot of empty seats in the stadium. But I just remember that we were sitting in the space, and there was nobody around. And then this usher, this old white dude, you know, looked like somebody right out of a baseball movie, you know, came up to us, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but in essence, he told us she had to move. You know, so I guess she decided that, you know, all this seats here, let's sit here instead of back there in where we had to stand up. So while we were sitting there, though, she had me in her lap, and that's what I remember before we had to get up and leave. But the significance of it came to me later. I'm all but certain, and my mother was a sports enthusiast. I mean, her heroes were like Jackie Robinson, you know, Joe Louis, Floyd Patterson, Sugar Ray Robinson. She loved Sugar Ray Leonard, too. You know, she wasn't too crazy about, you know, Cassius Clay. Matter of fact, she didn't like him. She didn't like Jim Brown. Yeah, she didn't like Jim Brown. You know, she was a very particular person. But anyway, my point is, I'm sure that she had taken me to the ball game to see Jackie Robinson play. So me believing that and me being born in 47, you know, that provides a breadcrumb for me. In a story, even if I don't put in book form, I will share at any given moment if I'm in dialogue with folks and we're talking about the uniqueness of our mothers, let's say. You know, and so, but the other thing in 1947 that I think had something to do with me, you know, like I know I'm tripping, but it was the Roswell incident. You know, that was the first significant scene of a UFO that crashed in New Mexico, and Roswell claimed it, although it was a smaller town where it actually crashed. But it was in March of 1947. So I just like that. You know, like, yeah, man, that's how I showed up. I came crashing to Earth. And everything about my birth is confusing, you know. And so I just like that story, you know, for my own purpose. And not too long ago, just a year or so ago, I drove out to California. I had never driven that far west before. And I had never driven, even though I had driven through New Mexico, just going through New Mexico and Nevada was real special for me, you know, in thinking about, you know, it, and if you ever have an opportunity to drive along I-40 heading west toward California, it's a very barren land, you know, population very sparse, but it's something very, I don't know, spiritual, you know. And again, being on the road is always spiritual to me, but it's just something about that stretch between here and in California that is just so unusually calm, you know, I guess some use the words peaceful. I don't know. I just know I felt calm, you know, like a calming, like a familiar calming coming over me. So, again, I can, you know, just look at the, you know, the episodes of my life as just being linear. You know, I'm here. You know, I'm born, I'm here, and I die. You know, or as your cousin Ray put it, I can start investing in that dash between the dates of birth and death that appear on that tombstone that hovers above that parchment of ground where my earthly remains rest. You know, I can start really taking notice of, you know, yeah, man, there's deer in my backyard. You know, did I expect to see deer in my backyard when I moved here? No.
Absolutely not.
So what's up with that? You know, a coyote, you know, wait a minute. You know, I thought coyotes hung out in the Old West, you know, not on the south side of Chicago.
With tumbleweeds going by, not, you know.
Yeah,
not,
with tumbleweeds going by. Where did tumbleweeds come from? Yeah, man, what's up with it? So, you know, to me, these are, you know, these are dots, connected moments, you know, that that provide, you know, some essence of what that dash is between the dates. So, but I don't want to go too much more into this. I want to, you know, last week I kind of discouraged the idea of anybody calling in before, you know, the 11 o'clock hour. Well, I'm going to dash that, trash that, toss that out, you know. Again, reminding it, anyone and everyone that the chat room is open if you want to make comments in the chat room. But if there's something that, you know, you feel compelled to say, just hit one on your, what do you call it, man? Hit one on your
keypad.
What is it?
The keypad on your phone.
There you go. You know, hit one. Go ahead, explain it, man. You explain it. You do better than I do.
No, I was enjoying. I was sitting back, crossing my arms, like, hey, go ahead, man. Tell him what's up.
Hey, my man. Yeah,
but yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, go on.
No, yeah. If you're listening, and you want to chime in, you want to get put in our queue, our phone line is area code 516-387-1587. And when you call in, you know, you'll be listening to the show on your phone. And when you press 1 on your keypad, it will put you in our queue. It will put your number in the queue and let us know that you wanted to come into the live conversation here. And, of course, the chat room is open, too. And it's really, you know, but as Dad says, you know, we want to open that up for you all to even engage in live conversation. So.
Right.
And that's one thing that just to throw it in, I'm not really plugging Blog Talk Radio, but that's the one thing that Dad and I enjoy about Blog Talk Radio, being able to engage with you all in live conversation. It's kind of difficult to find in other podcasts. You have that advantage with this show.
Yeah, right on, right on, man. So, you know, let me put you on the spot right now, since I got you here. Have you entertained any thoughts about telling your story in some form?
Yeah, of course I have. In what form is the question.
Yeah, you're ahead of the game. That's right.
Yeah, what form? I don't know. Writing, of course, but one form of writing. Poetry. I was talking to one of my tribe the other day, and he was asking about, can Jackson do a comic book? And then that just sparked off some stuff with me, like, oh, a comic book. You know, so it's, yeah.
Let's say some more about that, though, because, you know, like, why did that spark you in any way, because someone mentioned comic books.
Well, the reason why is because when I was younger, as Dad likes to point out, ladies and gentlemen, I had made this comic book, and I don't remember how old I was. But
well, take a guess. How old do you think you were?
Oh, man, I don't know. Maybe 8-ish?
Younger
8,
than that.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. Do you remember?
Younger than that.
Wow.
Yeah, you were 6, man. You were 6. You were 6. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
go
so,
ahead. Okay, let me take you.
No,
out.
You know, so that just, you know, made me think about the story that you always like to tell when I created this comic book when I was six. And just made me think about that there are other ways for us to tell our stories, you know. And that's why I enjoy doing these shows as well, you know, because this is not just Thursdays and Saturdays, you know, because they're recorded. I upload them. I save them on the hard drive, so it's not like the website's going to crash. We got it. You know, we got this stuff. We got these things, this dialogue, these things that we share every week saved. You know, and to me that's something as well. Being able to do graphics as best as I can on the computer, you know, I appreciate the gifts that I have. I you know, whether it be computer or sketching or writing or helping us come up with these shows, you know. But going back to the beginning of the question, I thought about it. I just haven't really considered how. But I haven't really put a lot of thought in that. You know, our caller last week asked, you know, with all these thoughts and all these things we have, how do we begin? And I'm still going back to that. Your response was, well, what do I want to create? You know, what?
What do I want to create gives me an idea of how then to create it. You know, I think a lot of people get paralyzed by the thought when they hear, you know, write your own book club. It's like, oh, but I don't have any desire to write a book. That's kind of a euphemism. It's kind of a metaphor. Write your own book, you know, means in any form that I choose to express it. It's not mired to or otherwise frozen to the idea of that writing your own book or the write your own book club is, you know, you have to actually write something in a book. No, it's to give expression to the story. So that's why, you know, like what you just said, you know, your gifts around the computer with your graphics, I mean, they're stunning to me. You know, maybe they're common to you, but, you know, to somebody who, and here's the point, to somebody who doesn't know how to do what somebody else can, it's mesmerizing to witness and to watch. You know, like, mm-hmm. I cannot dunk, but I sure can feel like I'm dunking when I watch Michael Jordan soar through the air, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can't dunk on a 10-foot basket, but I sure can dunk in a garbage can. You know, so to me it's the same feeling. You know, I'm being like Mike. You know, so I can, you know, I can hit this, I can shoot this jump shot, you know, with this piece of balled up paper, and it's like I count down 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm shooting at the garbage can. You know, so yeah, I can't play like him, but I sure can imagine like him. You know,
yeah.
And sketching. I mean, you have a gift of artistry. You know, your grandfather was an artist. You know, and you got art. You know, you got art skills running rampant in your family. You know, mm-hmm. And you know, like your writing skills, I definitely have seen, you know, manifest in what I call your lyric skills. You know, but that's what I think when I read what you write. It just takes on lyrical form, you know, like lyrics, like songwriting. You know, so it is a manner of finding, rediscovering, sharpening, honing, developing, redeveloping, reconnecting with, you know, these skills that are buried in this treasure chest that are just waiting to be rediscovered. We've talked for a couple of weeks now about bits and pieces of paper scattered about that have notes written on it for a particular moment that grabbed us at a particular time, and there was nothing else available other than an envelope, you know, and scattered through our homes, you know, wherever we may reside, are these breadcrumbs, you know, these little treasures that, you know, are leading, you know, once we set out to find them, they're going to take us on a journey. You know, like, wow, what was the significance of writing this? All these little pieces of treasures, these breadcrumbs that are just waiting to be reconnected with, rediscovered if we're just willing to just, you know, go through the catacombs of our own inner research and just find these bits and pieces of ourselves. You know, I like to ask people things like, you know, what's your favorite movies? You know, not the movie itself, but the type of movie, the genre. You know, like I love Westerns, you know. I love romance stories, you know. I'm not big on supernatural stuff, you know. I take that back. I don't like supernatural stuff, you know. Sci-fi for the most part, and I'm not big on, you know, gore, you know. But in those movies that I like, there are always little treasures that appear, you know, may not have, and most of the time have nothing to do, you know, with the movie, but that's okay. These little moments, dialogue in the movie, or these little things that happen in the movie, whenever these things happen, they get recorded in my memory, and I see the whole movie in those moments. Like, we went to see the remake of, you know, my favorite Western, Magnificent Seven, and the remake starred, amongst others, Denzel. And there's a quote that you took from the new movie that was my favorite from the old movie. Well, not my favorite, but one of my favorites. So far, so good. You know, and you like to say that. And every time you say it, I see the new movie, you know. But every time when you say it, I see the new movie, because that's the remake, because that's when we went to watch it. But every time I hear it, I'm reminded of the old movie, my favorite. You know, so I like the way that just connects for me, because that leads to other things that we discovered watching the new movie. Like, you know, what I loved about it more than anything else. Now, it was seven dudes, right? And it was like this brother, this Indian, this Mexican, this I don't know what was. He was kind of Asian. And
yeah, right.
And what, these three white dudes, you know, was that seven? I'm thinking that was seven. But anyway, my point is, at the end of the movie, the brother, the Indian, and the Mexican survived. I mean, how often do you see that in Western? You know, that is, but if for no other reason, I absolutely love that movie, you know. It's like, right on. But that also is my point. These kind of roles and these kind of scripts cannot be depicted and cannot be revealed without stories to back them up. So if we're not telling our stories, we're going to be stuck with the old stories that have already been told over and over again, and we'll never be able to see beyond that. I think we talked, I don't remember if it was on this show or if we were just talking in passing, but in talking about favorite movies, you know, think about the actors. And in most cases, you're going to find, for the most part, I'm sure there's exceptions, and I know there's going to be people going to start throwing sticks at me for saying this, but for the most part, our favorite movies are usually comprised of white actors. And when I say white actors, I mean male and female. Halle Berry corrected me about that. She came to one of our classes at the Center for Inner City Studies, and she was she came to the class because she was just wanted to develop some background understanding of the movie she was making at the time called Raising Isaiah. And so one of the people who worked at the halfway house for women that she had gone to kind of get a good understanding of her character was someone who came to my classes. So she invited Halle Berry to come to one of the classes. And so after the class, you know, she and I were just kind of talking, and I told her about a movie that I really liked, you know, and I said that she was such a gifted actress. And she said, well, I thank you for the compliment, although it is somewhat left-handed. And I thought, what the hell did I do now? And she said, and she looked at me and said, I am not an actress. I am an actor. And I thought, right on, baby girl. That's right, you know. So, you know, it's like, don't assign me to something that immediately limits, you know, the extent of what my skills can bring to a movie. Because most people think actor male, actress female. So it's like, call us all actors, and then see, now you can't discriminate. you know, you just have to take from the pool of what you have available. And I think most of us who are, you know, like myself, people of color, we tend to, in the movies we see, because they're the ones that are most out there, that tend to be full of white cast, you know. So a lot of my, you know, favorite actors are white actors, you know, male and female, you know. And so now I started asking myself, what if the script was written in such a way that it was just going to be given to the person who had the most skill? You know, would it, how would, you know, why can't it work out that way? Well, because we're not used to it. We've been, you know, we've been, I don't want to say brainwashed, but we've been conditioned to just expect certain people to fill certain roles when certain movies come on, and we don't even ask, like, what if Denzel played Jesus? You know, we don't even challenge ourselves to imagine it, you know, and there's no reason why not. You know, or you know, what if, you know, and I'm picking on Denzel, but what if, you know, like, what if Morgan Freeman or Yaphet Kotto, you know, who just died recently, you know, or Brock Peters, why couldn't they have played Obi-Wan Kenobi? You know, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. So it's like the unaware conditioning that so often influences, you know, the scope of what we believe that is credible in how we want to express our own stories. So forget comparing it to somebody else. Just, you know, I'm asking, you know, that those out there, just give yourselves permission, you know, to not be typecast when it comes to considering your own story, but instead accept the idea that nobody can tell your story better than you. I don't care who they are. You know, your parents can't. You know, they can tell your story based on them as parents. I can talk about you, Will, you know, until cows fly. But that's my story about you. That's not yours. I mean, when I watch you and your cousin Ray and your cousin Jeff and your other cousins, Carmela and Valencia, you know, when I watch y'all kick it, I'm watching a performance that I don't know anything about. It's like, damn. Look at them, you know. I mean, it's an amazing thing, right? And I'm sure that, well, if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen, you know, where you're going to see your son Jackson, you know, in his element, even if his element is about us, his family, and him doing who he is, you know. And I'm sure those of you who have children out there know what I'm talking about, that I don't care if they're still young children or grown children. It's something when we get to witness them in their element. And for those of you who have children, you will, if you haven't experienced it, you will, when, you know, they show up. When they show up. And it's like the question is, can you stand it? You know, can you let them be who they are? Or do you feel like I ain't through being their parent yet? Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It really is. So, you know, I'm sorry for tripping about that, you know, but it's what telling your story does, you know, it's what it's supposed to do. You know, what we'll find out is investing in one story, you know, the amnesia starts dropping away, you know, and there's a vividness to the reengaging of something other than this linear being who just thinks the responsibility is just to fill a space, you know, until the final day arrives. No, you know, it's so much more to it than that. But I believe we don't have to wait until we die to discover why we were born. You know, I don't think it has to, you know, come then. I think we can find out right now, you know. So anyway, I just want to throw some, anybody in the queue or anything, Will, or how we doing?
No, nobody's pressed one yet. I was about to make a joke. Say, I see one number, but it's you. So.
Yeah, I'm in the queue. Yeah, that was the only way I could get here earlier, man. Again, thank you so much for bailing me out. So, in review, and you asked the question of like, okay, where is this heading? First of all, understand something before we get into the review. Writing your own book is an endeavor. It's a challenge. And I feel a responsibility, you know. But it comes with some degree of consequences. Some good, some bad, some easy, some hard. You know, so consider that these first few classes in this virtual room of creative writing has to do with setting a framework of understanding. Like, you know, the frame is what holds the picture. So you have to decide what your frame is. You have to decide, is it writing, you know, and even in writing, what form of writing, you know, or is it some of the other arts, you know, that the story reveals itself. But most importantly, and I have to assume this just by nature of you arriving to this virtual class, that there must be something going on that piqued your interest enough to even show up. And I suspect it's because you believe there is a story buried in you that is just begging to be released. You know, now, you know, it ain't an easy thing. You know, matter of fact, it's downright scary, you know, because there may be some things that are revealed that you may have wished you had just kept your thoughts shut. Not your mouth shut, but your thoughts shut. Yeah, I know you're good at that. Because once it's like, release the Kraken, you know, once it's out, it's all but impossible to trying to contain it. Once you release it, it's like trying to push a cat into a Coke can. That just ain't going to happen. So might as well just go ahead and see where it takes you. But it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be revealed to everybody else. Actually, revealing your story to everybody else is the easy part. The hard part is revealing it to yourself. You know, we're only as sick as our secrets. You know, but this is an opportunity to be able to look at the deeper secrets, you know, the ones that we've hidden even from ourselves. So just a little bit of a review over the course of the last couple weeks, and in a sense this one as well. The first question in the first class was put to everyone was, who am I? And if you haven't written this down before, you can just say, yeah, okay, I got it. What I'm asking you to do is write it down. Write it down on a hopefully a blank sheet of paper. Or a blank envelope, or a blank post-it, you know, but something blank, something blank, and just write down the question, who am I? You know, just that's all, nothing more, nothing less. Since we first explored that magnificent mystery of self, have you given any thought to the question? So just in putting it down on paper, just by making that effort, that will be there in your mind, you know, in whatever else you're doing along the way, and it will keep popping back up again in times that totally unrelated to what's going on. But very important in the storytelling is that question, you know, that continues to unveil itself, to unravel even, you know, who am I? So take a moment, if you haven't already, to just write that down on as blank of a sheet of paper as you can. Now, we'll make concession if you're writing it on an envelope and there's an address already written on it, yeah. But no other quotes or anything, just who am I? All right? How we doing? Got it? Okay. The two most important days in a person's life is the day you were born and the day you found out why. You know, so who am I is what the day you were born and the day you find out why is all about. Got it, Will? Question number one. Question number two is, why am I? Or did I tell y'all we're going to, you know, to write down some questions? Maybe I forgot to mention that. You're going to be writing down about 10 questions. So hopefully, you know, you heard Will say pad and pen or pencil. Make notes. Well, here it is. First question, who am I? Second question, why am I? You know, and again, the why am I is answered in the second part of that quote by Mark Twain. The two most important days, the who am I is the day you were born, and the why am I is the day you find out why. So the two most important days, why am I? I'm sorry, who am I and why am I? Third question, or am I going too fast?
I'm with you.
Okay, Well, I'm using you as my gauge.
Okay.
All right. Third question. What are some of the things? What are some of the things you love most about yourself? Yeah. And if you know, if you don't do anything but write the question down, that's fine. You don't have to put any answers down. You know, the question, what are some of the things I love most or you love most about yourself? Because you don't have any idea knowing what I love most about myself. So what are some of the things you love most about yourself? Now,
should there be a limit to that, or should we just whatever comes out, just mark it?
Well, it's something that hopefully will continue to grow.
Right.
So, you know, don't limit it to like, you know, limit it to 5 responses. No, you know, but getting it written down is the key. You know, getting mm-hmm. it written down is the key. You know, what are some of the things you love most about yourself? Number 4. What are some of the things you love least about yourself? Now, I want to make a shift in thought right here, because all too common people say the things I hate most about myself. Well, let's throw hate out the window. There's enough, you know, self-hate going on. All right, we know that. Got it. I hate it. Okay, fine. Let's just do a little shift in thought right now. You know, what are some of the things, instead of some of the things you hate most about yourself, let's change it. What are some of the things you love least about yourself?
Love least.
Yeah.
You know, I always enjoyed when I look at the book, The Art of War, and you said, mm-hmm. it should be a book, The Art of Love. Take war out of every page and put love in it. And I'm like, man, this guy is so deep, man.
Well, that's a heck of a book, though, man. You know,
you came up
really
with
that,
man.
Yeah, hey, what can I tell you, man? You know, but that, man, I mean, you know, that it says war, you know, but man, ain't the way it reads, you know. But yeah, okay, number 5.
Yeah.
Now this one might be a little bit difficult, so. You know, your hand might shake as you write this down. You know, what secrets do I keep closely guarded about my life? I'll repeat it.
Mm.
You know, what secrets do I keep closely guarded about my life? Or you might want to say, what secrets about my life do I keep closely guarded? What secrets do I keep closely guarded about my life? And hopefully the question in writing it might start stirring the thought process, you know. It just might cause some juices to flow that haven't reached certain spots in the attic of the mind in a long time, you know. But this is giving yourself permission to, you know, explore the inner regions of the soul. That's where it's stored, by the way. You know, what secrets do I keep closely guarded about my life? Good, Will?
Yeah, I was able to write it down. My hand started shaking for a second. You said secret.
Yeah, chill.
But I got it.
Yeah, there's nobody looking over your shoulder and writing the question, you know, so, you know, there's nobody that's going to be asking, how did you answer that? Now, number 6 may seem like 5A, but it's number 6. Keep it separate, too. Why do I guard secrets so closely? Let me say that again. Why do I guard those secrets so closely? So 5 is what secrets about my life do I closely guard or do I keep closely guarded? And number 6 is why do I guard those secrets so closely? So the one part is the secret itself, and then the question is, you know, why do I keep it so, you know, so guarded under lock and key? Because there's some secrets we have that are just waiting to be expressed, right? You know, and there's some secrets we have that make us chuckle. But there are some secrets we have that we wish we didn't, that we wish we didn't even have, but we know are there. Do you agree, man?
Yeah. Some secrets want to be expressed. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, man. You know, they've used up their purpose, and it's like, I need to get this out. But then it's like, but if I tell this, well, I also have to reveal that. You know, and there's the trap. Yeah, there's the trap.
Okay.
And that's why it's important to, you know, to differentiate here. You know, guarded is the key. Number 7. What hidden or unique talent do I have? And that's no S after that, you know. What hidden or unique talent do I have? And believe me, there's one there that is hidden, and as hidden as it is also just that much more unique. And there's sometimes hidden talents or unique talents, you know, weren't always hidden. Sometimes they've become hidden. You know, sometimes they were there in plain view, you know, for others to witness, for others to see. And over time, we just buried them, you know. But they were unique in their own expression. And there's different reasons why that can happen. You know, there's so many different reasons and so many different circumstances. You know, I think about my mother, you know, and those of her genre, her generation, you know, they were called housewives, you know, not homemakers, but housewives, you know, and how many of them had their own talents before they got married and before they had children, or just before they got married, you know, and they did certain things, but once they took on the role of wife, you know, then everything that was about them as unique being just got pushed aside. And then as children came along, dreams were hidden under, you know, boatloads of responsibilities toward others. You know, it's almost like the price of motherhood is self-sacrifice. You know, the point of self gets lost in the responsibilities of others. And then the time comes when they're all gone. You know, they've flown the coop, however the saying goes. And suddenly it's that moment of revelation of, who am I? When I have dedicated so much time to being that, you know, who am I? You know, how much of myself was I sacrificed? You know, and I think there's a lost moment of the need to reconnect with identity. You know, so what hidden or unique talent do I have? And then sometimes it's just the trauma of certain things that can happen. Like, you know, I used to, when I was 17, you know, I was reckless, you know, but I was reckless in my own mind too. So, you know, even though if I got high enough, I could believe I could dance. And I remember going to this country club gathering with your Uncle Jeff and his soon-to-be wife, but at that time girlfriend, Jeff's mom, Jalinda. And they took me with, well, I was like maybe 16, 17, I don't know. I was probably 17 because Jeff was back from the Air Force. You know, and he never understood how you could be gone 5 years and I was still in high school. But anyway. That's another story for another time.
For another time.
So we were at this dance, and, you know, and the booze was flowing, and I was with them. So, you know, they were old. They were of age, so, you know, I had my share of grog. And so I was dancing with Jalinda, and I was just dancing up a storm. Man, I just, hey, Jalinda, come on, let's get out there on the floor. Hey, Jalinda, come on, let's go. Every chance I got, I was just out there dancing up a storm. And we came back to the table after maybe about the 10th dance. And it was always, obviously, fast music. And she looked at me and said, gee, Billy, you dance like a white boy. And that brought my dancing career to a screeching halt. He was like, well, I'll never dance again for the rest of my life. You know, so it was like the thrill of dancing, you know, was lost, you know, through the criticism of my skill. So I just, you know, I just, that did it. Now, the rest of the story, of course, goes that when I hooked up with one of my favorite hookups, Margaret, I think you remember Margaret, and I know your cousin Ray remembers Margaret, you know, Margaret liked to dance, and I was, you know, I was terrified of, you know, dancing like a white boy, so I just avoided any dancing situation. But there was this show that used to come on Saturday mornings. It was called Soul Train. So Margaret worked on Saturday. She was an X-ray tech. And I didn't. You know, I was off on the weekends. I was working the True Link fence then. And the details are always very important in stories, by the way, y'all. So it doesn't matter, you know, if some of the audience falls away. You know, that's neither here nor there. It's the telling of your story, not their story. They get to tell their story about how boring your story was, but that's neither here nor there either. So every Saturday morning when she would leave, I'd get up and turn on Soul Train, and I'd fire up a joint, you know. And I just started trying, you know, because you can do miraculous things when you're high on reefer. So I just started trying to emulate. I just started kind of trying to emulate. And there's nobody around, you know. So I was emulating their moves, you know, and I just, every Saturday, I don't even know for how long, I would do this. And the day came when there was this dance going on. And the dance styles that were out then was the bump, the rock, and the GQ. And so that was what they were doing mainly on Soul Train. So, the day came when they were having this dance thing that Margaret wanted me to come down to. Now, it was after her job, and she was on the south side, and True Link Fence is way up 4400 north on Kedzie. And, you know, I didn't have any way of getting down there, so I borrowed the company truck. And I ain't got no license, right? So I'm borrowing the company pickup truck, you know. They didn't know I didn't have a license. I just asked if I could use it to move some things for the weekend. So I told them we'd be back Saturday. And they said, fine, go ahead. So, you know, they didn't need it. So here I am driving this panel truck, you know, no license, heading down to the south side of Chicago. And I show up, and I still got on my, you know, got on my work clothes. And everybody's like, oh, that's all right, man. At least they know you got a job, you know. So I go in, and the moment of truth came, man. You know, like, Margaret's glad to see me. First song came on. She went, I don't remember the song. I wish I did. But we got out on the dance floor. And I tell you, you know, there was never a scarier moment in my life up to then, you know. I mean, I'm a grown man. Got up there on the dance floor and started doing the GQ, you know. And I got so carried away at one point, I just started lifting up one of my legs. And I was rocking, man. And I Margaret looked at me and said, dang, I didn't know you could dance. And that did it for me. After that moment, man, I had arrived, you know. So a hidden talent or unique talent sometimes can get buried in criticism. And only requires an unfolding or reconnecting once again. Okay, so what hidden or unique talent do you have?
Right.
Number 8, what do people love most about you? Yeah, just like that. Write it down. What do people love most about you? How's that for a question? Hey, there's something people love about me, yeah. What do people
right.
love?
I'm like, how do I answer that? Really?
Yeah. Well, check it out. All right. What do people love most about me or about you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number 9. What do people love least about you? And I have a feeling that number 9 would be easier to answer than number 8, but that's neither here nor there.
I was just about
to
say that.
Okay. Yeah. So 8. What do people love most about you? Number 9, what do people love least about you? So the question may be, why is that even, you know, necessary to ask? Because a lot of people like to say, I don't care what people think about me, but I'll tell you this right now. Those who say they don't care what people think about them are the ones who care most about what people think about them. But it's just certain people. You know, it's not the collective of everybody. Yeah, there's certain people that you don't care what they think about you, but there's some people that what they think about you means everything. You know, right or wrong. What do you think, Will?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, not till recently I realized that I put a lot of energy into what other people thought about me. But before, I used to be like, I don't care.
Yeah. But there's still that element of there's a certain group that it absolutely matters the most. You know, peer pressure never ends. I think a lot of people think that peer pressure is somehow confined to, you know, adolescence and teen years. No, peer pressure remains even through late adulthood. You know, peer pressure, you know, may take on a different form than, you know, when I was running around with pimples, you know, but now peer pressure continues on as we continue on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you agree with that? What do you think? And you can disagree with it, by the way. You can disagree with it.
No, I think so. And, you know, always like these discussions we have like this even. But with dealing with peer pressure or outside influences, I can't help but think about the influence of social media and how much more we see, you know, how much more we see things, you know, or other people, you know, or at times be like, man, well, you know, I see this about them. What do they see about me? You know, stuff like that. So I was just reflecting on that and the influence that social media will have in this regard.
Right on, man. I think that's an excellent example. You know, the influence of the media. Oh man, you know. Okay, here's number 10. Drum roll. Have you discovered unexpected treasures about yourself lately? If not, why not? I'll repeat that. Have you discovered unexpected treasures about yourself lately? If not, why not? There are always things about you waiting to be discovered. Or do you believe that? So I'm going to read the whole thing again because it's all kind of about number 10. Have you discovered unexpected treasures about yourself lately? If not, why not? And then put an asterisk by this next sentence. There are always things about you waiting to be discovered. Or do you believe that? There are always things about you waiting to be discovered. Or do you believe that? So, Will, questions, thoughts, comments, complaints. Give them to me now.
Man.
Da, 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 da.
Man, that's... I had to do that for the final part there.
Yeah, that always reminds me of Lalo.
What a
brother. Yeah.
I thought you'd take that. Have you discovered unexpected treasures about yourself lately? If not, why not? There are always things about you waiting to be discovered. Or do I believe that?
Hmm. Yeah. There are always things about me waiting to be discovered. Or do I believe that? You know, every day. Now, that doesn't mean that it happens every day, but it's there every day to be discovered, is my point. You know, and yeah, I got the option of selectively choosing if I'm going to, you know, keep the pillow over my head today or do I want to open my eyes and take a look at it, you know. But it's there, you know, just waiting to be acknowledged, you know. I mean, that's the beauty about infinity, you know. It has forever on its side, so it's always going to be able to outweigh. It's going to be able to outweigh me. I find out today, find out tomorrow. But I'll still be here wondering, when are you, you know, going to go ahead and make that investment? So I recall when writing Mastering the Art of Failure in Relationships, I was going over what I assumed to be the final editing, just intending to check for the corrections, missed typos, so forth. You know, all the stuff that past editing by the self-publishing agency had done, and all the time I spent having to go back and redo all this stuff now. Now, you know, I had spent close to 5 years with the manuscript, so the creative approach had paled, man, to say the least. I had grown weary of the damn thing. I was just wanting to be done, you know, and I just wanted it to be over. I wanted it to be done. I wanted it to be finished, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, yeah, you know, and I didn't want to take you through that painstaking memory.
No, it's okay.
Moans and groans. Well, no, anybody was close to me there would have heard the moans and groans. 5 years, you know, of a lot of flailing, disappointments, whatever, you know. But, man, it was like I couldn't even see it anymore. You know, I had lost track of what the original idea was even supposed to be. I just wanted it to get done. I just wanted it to be done with me, you know. And then it happened. I was going over it, man. I remember it like it was yesterday because it was just a couple years ago. And then I started seeing something that I had been completely oblivious to. My manuscript was loaded with stories of being victimized by women and others, you know. Just about every relationship I wrote about was she done me wrong. Now, there were some stories that, you know, were traumatic. But there were the theme of almost every story involving females, you know, as I started looking at it, it's like, man, you know, all I remember thinking was, another she done me wrong? You know, I was so intent, you know, on revealing the truth about my past love life or my past lovers that I didn't expect to uncover the truth about my bitterness. You know, and that's what I saw, man. It's like, man, you know, I had been carrying around wounds that had only healed on the surface, but in fact were still bleeding just below that thin skin level. And that was not the story I started out to tell. I had no intention on telling the story of being victimized. You know, I thought I was doing a purging. I thought I was doing a healing even. I thought I was coming clean, you know, and I thought I was, you know, taking advantage of, you know, what I heard a long time ago about everybody has a story to tell. What's yours? You know, but I did not expect to find in going over this thing that it was just full of so much bitterness, you know. And, well, just when I was done, or so I thought I was, I had to start all over again. Not start all over again. I mean, I didn't throw it out. And then, no, I just had to rewrite as best I could, you know, those places, you know, where I found, you know, I was talking about being, you know, victimized, which was nothing I was looking for. So hopefully, you know, I cleaned all that stuff out. But it was something just to come to that place. So just know there are so many pieces to your story waiting to be released. There are so many parts of you, you know. And here's the whole thing, you know. Although there are so many pieces, you know, and they are, they're just waiting to be released. There are so many parts, though, of ourselves, you know, just waiting to be reintegrated. You know, now, what do I mean by, you know, waiting to be reintegrated? Well, you know, not every sad story is sad, you know, but it's our story. You know, so it's like I can call it other things. I can depict it in other ways. But when I'm about reintegrating it, then I take back the feeling that was originally mine in the first place. You know, like even, you know, even people who get married and get divorced still have the event of marriage, you know, that's needing to be reintegrated. Because that was an intent, for whatever the reason, that was an intent and purpose to satisfy a recognized desire and need. That came from me. That didn't come from anybody else. So that's, you know, however that external story may, you know, be told, the internal story has to do with me taking that part of me and reintegrating it into the essence of me, you know, as being that thing which I sought and I found and I was pleased with. Now, whatever else happened is whatever else happened, but the original trance came from me. And why it's important to reintegrate that because as it becomes a part of me once again, then I have something that I didn't have before. I have signs now revealing itself on my roadmap, you know, as I'm going along this trail of breadcrumbs. That sign is saying, okay, now, you've been down this road before. But having, you know, reintegrated it, now I'm real clear about, you know, what the sign is telling me. Having not reintegrated it, chances are, you know, I'm just going to see an exit and take it, you know, just to find out, damn, I've been down this road before. I don't know if you ever been lost before, man, driving, you know, and now I'm not asking for no directions. That kind of tends to be a man thing. I got my GPS, but the GPS led me to a cliff, you know, so it obviously ain't working, you know. And have you ever just determined to find where you're trying to go only to just find out you're going in circles? You know, like, I just drove past this. Damn, I'm lost. Finally to admit it to myself. I'm lost. Yeah. So now, maybe, you know, I'm willing to ask for directions or find at least another road. Let me try turning here this time. You know, so I thought I was done, but I had to go back and find the deeper truth. You know, and hopefully I did a good job. And I think that's, you know, the important factor of it all, that hopefully I did a good job in going back, retracing, you know, the breadcrumbs and wanting to get back to that place I was trying to get to. You know, so again, I believe we don't have to wait until we die to discover why we were born, you know. And I love that song, you know, that we play at the end, amen, you know, because I love that one line. You know, I say amen to all the crazy things that happened that made me who I am. Amen. So that's about what I got today, man. You got anything?
No, that is amazing. I love the review. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I didn't know that all this information was coming today. So I'm sitting here with my pen in my hand still ready for more notes.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. This was awesome. This is awesome. I did have one comment, and actually it's a retraction. I'm getting all media on you, because you said that you were going to turn 47 next year. Earlier in the show, you said talking about something, and you said you were going to turn 47 next year. So
said that, man.
Yeah,
I'm turning 74 next week. What the heck?
You said 74 next year, not next week. I'm sorry. I'm the one with dyslexia, but you said next year, not next week. So I was just putting you on blast because, ladies and gentlemen, his birthday is next week. So.
Yeah. Okay. No, I sure didn't mean to say next year. I had next week on my mind, but you know. I don't put it past me, but it's interesting, though, that you said that, because I didn't think in context of 74 being 47 in reverse. So, again, 47 being the year I was born. So that's kind of cool that you brought that. You know?
Oh, wow.
So that gives me, that gives me something to think about, you know, just in that regard. So maybe there's a rebirth waiting, you know. Maybe it's a rebirth instead of a re-death. I'm ready for one of them. I'm a little tired of the re-deaths, man. They've been going on long enough, you know, this past year. So let me get some rebirthing happening. Yeah, man.
Why not?
74 next week. Sorry about that. Yeah. Thank you for making that correction. Yeah. Thank you, man. I'm standing.
Pulling your leg.
Yeah, because believe me, the hate mail would have caught up with me anyway. Next year. You know how you're going to be. Okay. Hate is going to hate. I love that saying. I don't know what it means, but I love it.
That's just what they're going to do. Like you said, hate is our self-actualized. The same thing you talked about a cow. The cow knew its purpose, right? Haters know their purpose, man. Haters are self-actualized. They just going to hate. That's just what they do, man.
I love that, man. Right on. I got that one right on, man.
That's just what they do, man.
That's just what they do.
A call in the queue. We got a call in the queue here. You bring them in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Uh-oh, I heard it. Unmuted. Good morning, caller.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Greetings.
What's happening, man?
What's going on? What's going on?
Good. My man, it's good always
stuff.
Good to hear your voice, right? Yeah, how you doing
out there, man? Good stuff, Will and Bill. So am I able to, I know I can replay the broadcast, but how do we, are you posting those questions somewhere? I mean, not the questions, but the 10 lessons. I mean, the 10 bullet points, the 10, you know, 10 questions you were able to share this afternoon.
I will.
So I want to, you know.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
I'll make a concerted effort to do that, and I'll figure out, you know, some format to do it on, so you know, I can tell, other than using the archives, because you know the archives are 2 hours long. Yeah, I'll
understood.
Figure out with Will's help, I'll figure out a format to put it on and send it out.
Hold on one second. Okay, yeah, the producer's talent. So
yeah.
So when you summed up. Something struck me, man, because when I share what the Saturday meeting is about, there's always been, since I've learned that you're going to have something on every Saturday, you know, encouraging, you know, writing,
mm-hmm.
I believe I had a difficulty explaining it to people, and I find myself hesitant. Now, I don't know how it comes off to them, but there's that internal judgment. I'm like, man, am I saying it too, like it's too difficult, or, you know, I don't know. And I'm just trying to do as much,
gotcha.
I'm just trying to advocate as best as I can for something I believe in, and I actually believe in what y'all got going. You sort of mentioned it earlier, and if you don't mind, giving a summary of that, either to, you know, you can shoot me a text or shoot me an email or put it on your Facebook, however you're going to do, like sort of similar to the 10 questions you're going to do today. But that part about, you know,
uh-oh.
Yeah, on the surface, writing a book, you know, writing
wow.
a book, well, you know, how to write a book, you know, book, that sticks, well, that's always stuck out to me, and you gave me something that got a little more teeth in it, got a little more, you know, down-home cooking to it, where when I speak to people about what you guys got going on Saturday, and a
mm-hmm.
reminder to myself, that hey, it's finding a way, however, through whatever, to begin the journey of, you know, just telling a story through wherever you find out where you're going with it, and in what device or method or paper or recording, whatever, you know. But I got how you summed it up, but that's kind of what I'm re-asking. Again, I know I can go back in the archives as well. And y'all forgive me for the noise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently driving. So, anyway.
Yeah, you're great.
See
yeah.
what's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
What y'all
well,
think?
Well, you know, here's the thing that I feel. Now, there are hundreds of methods available. With just a push of a button out there where people can find all kind of agencies, companies, and individuals waiting to help them publish their book, you know, self-publish mainly, or explain how to go out and find, you know, agents and blah, 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 blah. this, you know, this is really my idea therapy. You know, the whole idea of write your own book club, in my mind, is therapy. In therapy in whatever form we choose to take it. You know, that's therapy or counseling is unique in this regard, you know, that it rarely provides answers, but it always has questions. And it leaves the answers to the client. So write your own book club is a form of therapy where somebody gets to reveal to themselves their own prescription. You know, and it's by telling in whatever form it takes one's own story. You know, and that's the whole essence of the questions today. You know, was, in fact, the prescription. You know, so Write Your Own Book Club is about a therapeutic approach in self-discovery. You know, nothing more, nothing less. And no matter what form, you know, the expression takes on, it's going to have some form of script, you know, to associate it. And that's where the explanation is. Even if it takes on the form of dance, it's going to have a choreography, you know, the steps. You know, if it takes on a form of music, it's going to have some cymbals, some clefs, you know, some staff. It's going to have some cymbals again that gives direction to the music. You know, if it's, you know, iambic poetry or whatever the case may be, it's going to have a cadence and a rhythm, you know, and within, you know, the hidden meaning of the hidden words is a deeper truth that the person knows fully well, you know, what they're expressing. So others may not understand the poetry, and they may want to even edit it. And then, you know, they can do that. That's up to them. But my point is for, you know, is self-prescribed. So, and then, of course, it's the writing of a book itself. And it doesn't matter the age. Lord, it doesn't matter the age. Somebody 10 can write a book in a way somebody 90 never could, you know. Just like somebody 90 could write a book in a way somebody 10 never could. You know, so it's, you know, the best way I can, you know, describe it is it's a self-prescribed therapeutic approach in self-discovery. And I don't have to share that with anybody, or I can leave it behind for everybody. Or, you know, I can try to turn the buck with anybody. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, man. But
it sure does.
Therapeutic approach to self-discovery, man.
It sure does, man.
You know. So it,
I don't
it
have
is
to mention the word.
Yeah. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
I don't have to mention a word, you know, book. goal, but like if for those that don't know that they may have an affinity or, you know, that they may be attracted to what's going on here on Saturdays, you know, they can kind of accidentally get in, you know, this is, because it's real in here, man. Y'all are dropping it, you know, to me. If y'all ask me, y'all are dropping it, man. And it's giving me permission. It's encouraging. And again, these are all, you know, I'm learning this from someone. I'm an expert in my own opinion, so that's why I know what I'm talking about. Okay. If you ask me, man, you're dropping it. It's giving me permission to, first of all, to just quote the overwhelmingness that, you know, what do you mean that I can write my own book? That's just so overwhelming to me that I'm, you know, I'm like, I never got past the vision of when that first struck me, or if I, you know, oh, you know, hey, you,
there's a workshop going on, Write Your Own Book Club on Saturday. Well, I can throw that in the same trash basket as not continuing my education, or I can throw it in the same trash basket as never exploring something that may be a purpose in me, but just automatically knew I wasn't qualified for. So they're all in the same trash basket to me. And man, that therapeutic, therapeutic approach to, you know, a self-prescribed therapeutic approach to self-discovery. That's what's up, man. That's just what's
man.
My book.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
And I'm an advocate for that, man. I root for my loved ones, and I'm encouraging again, man. I learned this from you guys. I'm encouraging those that are around me, my loved ones, you know, particularly, of course, they're the immediate circle that says eventually, you know, for, you know, teenager on up, you know, get something down to where no one else can dictate, own, or tell your story. We don't have to rely on, you know, media or social media. I love that comment or that comparison Will made earlier.
Absolutely.
Social media, Ancestry.com, your parents, your cousin. No, man, you're the best. You're the most qualified to really speak about your life. And those 10 starter bullet points that you gave today, you know, is applicable to, you know, from, you know, I don't know, you know, 7 to 177, you know, 7 years old to 177 years old, you know, it's what's up, man. It's what's up, man.
Yeah, right on, man.
Thank you, guys, for real, man.
Right on. Oh, man.
This is what's up.
Yeah. Thank you for the comments, man. You know, man, that feels like, Will, I don't know about you, but that kind of felt like an amen to me.
that's definitely a good amen right there. Definitely.
Yeah, man, right on. Thank you for that, man. Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, thank you, man.
Thanks for answering my questions. I mean, that was, and thanks for like equipping, you know, you guys equipped, again, in my opinion, you guys equipped some folks today, man. You know, it's like Will said, it's archived and it's on a hard drive. You're not dependent upon, you know, Blog Talk Radio going out of business. You know, it's just,
right,
you know, hey,
right,
y'all
right.
got it,
yeah.
you know, and that's a,
yeah.
there's a
right
going on there,
right.
man. You've opened just today alone with those 10 questions with, you know, I can't imagine someone reading or being asked those 10 bullet points today and them not, heck, I was still on like number 3. Even though y'all on 7, I was still hung up in my own, you know, personal, you know, reel to reel. I'm like, wow, man, Lord have mercy, didn't I have a talent? Or, I discovered that and didn't know. It just took me on a little, you know, nice little ride within my own Rolodex of life. I mean,
right on,
man.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's the idea. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the creative process was sparked in this episode, especially in listening to this review. And Dad, you even set it up before you went through the top 10, before you went through this 10, you know, in giving permission when speaking to our souls, you know, we have to first do that, you know, give ourselves permission. And Ray, you mentioned it already. But one thing that you said that was, it's hard for words to keep up with thought, right? Is that what you said? It's hard for words to sometimes keep up with thought. And that's just, you know, Ray, it's funny, you know, we're writing down these questions, but we can't help but for our thoughts to start diving into these memories, you know.
Yeah.
But I still got to write down all these 10 bullet points and then all this other stuff you're talking about. But I got to, you know, and thus I think
you know, as Dad likes to say, herein lies the rub. You know, this process
herein
is beginning. We're rubbing these sticks together, man, and we're sparking this,
yeah.
this life, you know, that's happening. And I think,
yeah.
At least for me, that's what I'm feeling. I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but I think that's what's happening, and that's the energy I'm feeling from Ray right now.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have these three things that are going on. We have the thoughts, we have the words, but we also have our soul. See, and our soul speaks through symbols, you know, because it already knows the confusion that lies in thoughts. And it already knows the mix-up that happens with words. So it speaks in symbols, so there's always room for interpretation, always. You know, and all we have to do is give our souls permission to speak through symbols. And then the question is, how am I going to unveil that symbol? What skill, what talent, what method, you know, am I going to use to express it? And that's really what, you know, the essence of, you know, Write Your Own Book Club is about. It's about giving, you know, voice to the soul, you know, and finding a method that unveils its wisdom. You know, man, we have so much wisdom in us. It's you know, and if you don't believe me, then who was the first person that taught you one and one is two? You know, and what was it that convinced you it was true? You know, so there's, you know, it's this wisdom, man. It's inside of us. Like, we know the truth from the trick, you know. So, you know, like this person who first said one and one is two, you know, that inner wisdom said, bet. y'all with me here, man, you know, or am I tripping? You know, why am I even be tripping at the same time?
I'm tripping,
but that,
yeah.
Inner, we know our truth when we hear it, is my point, you know. We know our truth when we, you know, when we say it, and we know our truth when we avoid it, you know. And truth doesn't have an expiration date, so it's always waiting on us to be unleashed, rediscovered, reinvented even, or re-expressed. You know, that's the beauty about the truth. It stays the truth. Can't be anything else.
Mm. I'm gonna be right here when you're ready. I'll be here. You know.
Yeah.
You can ignore me
yeah.
if you want to. I'm gonna be here.
Yeah. So thoughts and words can clutter it. You know, it can create a clutter. You know, so we have to have that inner space where we can go to that just siphons through all the clutter. You know, and that's where, you know, that's where our secret sacred place is. You know, and because it's truth, there's no ego attached to it. You know, so there's no conflict, you know, and there's no reward. You know, it's nothing but harmony. You know, that's the key place, man. That's the key place. And unfortunately, for so many, that's not a place we venture into often. You know, we are so driven by external distractions until the distractions become our expression. You know, that's the unfortunate, you know, reality of the time we live in. There's so much external distraction, you know, that it's even hard to quiet down our thoughts long enough to enter into that secret, sacred place. You know, so often our thoughts will even try to sabotage. What am I doing this for? You know, I got a bank book to balance. Yeah. So Ray, thanks for the call, man. You know, it's perfect timing as always, man.
Thanks, gentlemen. Yeah, man. I'm tuned in and with this, you know, again, my opinion, when I believe I'm tripped up on something good, is that. That feeling when I'm around loved ones, man, and I'm gonna, you know, Lord willing, be an advocate to what's going on here. Number one, because I'm selfish, because it benefits me. Number one, but also that same feeling when, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, came to the Bulls, and it was just sort of a disgust if people. You know, like, first of all, you don't know, hey, we just drafted a guy. Man, you got to watch him play.
Right.
And then
yeah,
then you haven't watched him play, And then you're like, man, dude, go, like, watch a game. You know, of course you had to, you know, WGN and all this stuff that was going on when he first got in the league.
Yeah.
But
right.
It was a frustration. Not, you know, of course, you know, not their fault. But it was just a frustration, and almost I was insulting them in my head, like, what are you doing? Like, first of all, why don't you know about Michael yet? Why haven't you seen him? And then when you don't let me find out that you watched him and you didn't run to me and say, man, I got it. You know, so there's like two components.
Right,
even the people I speak about what's going on here on Saturday, when they join in right away, they better approach me first. And not better, but, you know, I'm going to get insulted.
I know what you're saying.
Those same feelings of, you know, like, you know, everybody else is an idiot for not being a part of this Saturday show. That same feeling is creeping on me, you know, when in fact I'm the idiot and the most pompous one and the most arrogant one. But but it still doesn't erase that Jordan was still Jordan. You know, like he was going to be Jordan without my idiocy or my bulliness and no matter what. So, man, I think y'all show, man, it's not even a show. I'm not even seeing it like that. It's a lesson. It's therapy. Like the definition that was so, you know, I believe in that definition. It's a, you know, and mm-hmm. and like let's like thank you. Let's do it, man. Let's do it, gentlemen. Thank
right
you.
Right on, man. All righty, Ray. Thanks again, man. All righty, Will. You know, that's all I got for today, man. We got, you know, we can wrap it up. All righty, bro. You got
sounds
any passing
good.
Words, comments, thoughts?
No, again, I had just as much fun as everybody else. I even learned some more things about my lineage and your mom, my grandmom's enthusiastic, you know, sports, mm-hmm. You know, times with you, and that's cool. That she liked a lot of sports. I didn't know that. And now I got a better idea why people say I dance like a white person. So you know, this is. This has been a heck of a year for me. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, though. I've seen you out on the floor, man, and you can cut a rug. I guess y'all don't say that no more. Yeah. But right on, man. Yeah, so thanks again, man, for being my wingman today. Thanks for, you know, riding the ship and making it possible for me to ease into an easy transition. Really appreciate that, man, absolutely. And, you know, let's close it on up, you know, and next week, I'm not quite sure what next week will be. I guess we'll have to just wait and see. You know, the story continues. Maybe that's the title of next week. You know, the story continues, the journey continues. I don't know. It at some place along the way, I would appreciate those of you out there listening. If either, you know, in the chat room, either, you know, through email or text or Facebook, you know, you to start throwing some things my way as to what it is you want to hear that will help you unfold your story. You know, some things you would hope will be included in future shows that will give you a clue as to where to start, you know, and how to know if you're on the right track. You know, I don't know how to answer that question when it's unasked. I can only share my journey, but Lord knows that means more of these long, lumbersome stories. Yeah, well, it'll be more of that to make a long story longer. What were you going to say?
2,000 words would do. So let me ask you then, for those that are listening, and I'm sure that many people listening may have different ways to contact you. What would be, in this sense, what would you prefer would be the best way for people to contact you in this sense?
Well, the best way would be the way that works, like GreenBG52. I'll repeat that again, greenbg52@aol.com. is email. You know, I'm Bill Green on Facebook, and you can inbox message me in that way, or 469-245-1844. You know, texting will probably be better than calling, as I'm sure some can testify. But you never know. You might shoot and kill a fish. But you got email, you got phone text, and you got Facebook. And that's all I got, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and you always got the show. What's the number again? 516-387-1587.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have the chat room. And to join the chat room, you have to become a member of Blog Talk Radio, which will require using a credit card, debit card. They won't charge you. It's free unless you want to start your own show. And then you will be charged if you have more than two people, you and somebody else. But it's free. They just need your credit card information. And then you can join the chat room. Okay? All righty, man. So,
yeah. Perfect. Thank you.
All righty, bro. And I'm sure we'll be talking later on. Shout out to the sister, Sister J Bird. Today's her birthday. Happy birthday, baby girl.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
What's up? All righty. Okay, man. So let's see. Do you have anything queued up? Like my favorite?
No.
All right, I got it.
I just have a cue. You got it? Cool. Yeah, take your phone out of here, Dad. Great job.
All righty, man. Love you, man. Take care.
Love you, too. Have a great day, everybody.
Amen.
I guess I should be crying. My heart just won't obey. If you stay, it should be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain. I say,
amen, everybody. See you next week.